He is good all the time. Doesn't mean that your situation is good, but it means that He is good even in the midst of your situation. I want to point your attention to Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3. I'm going to read, and then we're going to pray, then we're going to hop right into it, see what the Holy Spirit has in store for us. Is that all right? How many of you sense His presence in this place right now? Amen. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how far we get before He just wrecks our plans. It's His house. He can do whatever He wants to do. Joshua chapter 3. Verse 1 says, then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Shittim, and they came to the Jordan, he and all the people of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you're about to cross over. How many of you believe it? At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, as soon as you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God being carried by the Levitical priests, then you shall set out from your place and follow it. Yet there shall be a distance between you and it, about 2,000 cubits in length. Do not come near it, in order that you may know the way you shall go. For you have not passed this way before. This is a new thing God is doing. This is a new way He's doing it. For you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. The Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the sight of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. And as for you, command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, when you come to the brink of the waters of the Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. And Joshua said to the people of Israel, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, here is how you shall know that the living God is among you, and that He will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Jerushites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all the Ai brothers. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all of the earth is passing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take 12 men from the tribes of Israel, from each tribe a man. And when the soles of the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off from flowing. And the waters coming down from above shall stand still in one heap. I want to talk to you from the subject this morning of wet feet. Wet feet. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you are in this place because you came with us. And so, God, we ask that you flex your muscles in here. We ask, God, that you would do something special. We ask that you would change us, rearrange us, flip our situation on its head, and may our lives never be the same because we've had an encounter with you. In Jesus' name we pray. All those in agreement say amen. Amen and amen. Look at your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you have to have wet feet. Have to have wet feet. Have to have wet feet. There are a lot of strange sayings that are kind of floating around out there in society today. If you grew up in an era that I grew up in, you understand that spankings were a thing. You understand that if you messed up, there were disciplinary actions that followed to let you know that you can't do what you just did. I believe in correction. I believe in discipline. I believe in spankings. Amen. I am a product of good discipline. I remember, though, the saying my father used to tell me, as he would spank me, stop crying before I give you something to cry about. Come on, I'm in church now. We in church. Come on, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. And I thought to myself, that is the strangest thing to say as you are giving me a spanking. It's painful. Of course I'm going to cry. And now you're telling me if I don't stop crying, you are going to give me something else to cry about. Super strange. I never questioned my dad, though. Never questioned him because I didn't want something else to cry about. How many know what I'm talking about? But there are other strange sayings that we have adopted and taking on. A lot of them have to do with feet. If you're running and you trip and fall, people say, wow, you must have two left feet. No, I don't. I have a left and a right. I just am not coordinated like that. And so God's still working on my feet. We go get it together. It's just strange what we say. We say when people need to relax, go ahead and kick your feet up. We say when we are dealing with something that is holding us back or something that is delaying us, that is our Achilles heel. Business people and those that dibble and dabble in investments and getting a business off of the ground or getting into the stock market, they tell you, get your feet wet. And that's where we want to land today. We want to land on the idea that in this season, we have to have wet feet. In this season, we have to leave the comfort of where we're standing to get to where God is calling us. In order for us to get from here to there, we are going to have to go through something that will leave us with the evidence that God has bought us out of something and he's taking us to a greater place. Is there anybody in here this morning that believes I can't stay where I'm at? God has me on a journey taking me to a destination that I may not yet know. All I know is I'm following God, and if I follow him, he'll lead me where he wants me to go. Come on, bump your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you gotta have wet feet. You gotta have wet feet. You gotta have wet feet. And it's strange to think that in this season, God has not called us to stand on dry ground. He's called us to leave our comfort zone. He's called us to do something that we normally would not do within our own strength and our own power. He's calling us to leave behind tracks and evidence that he's brought us through something and he's brought us over something. I remember walking through my house one day, and as I was walking down the steps, I noticed that my son had left little tracks on our carpet. We got white carpet, and I asked him, I said, Max, did you leave this dirt there? He said, no, Daddy, I didn't do that. I said, well, is this your footprint? No, Daddy, that's not mine. I said, is this the size of your footprint? Yes, sir. Did you do that? No, sir. Well, who did it? I don't know. I'm like, Max, homie, buddy, you're the only person in this house that has a footprint this size. Just tell me the truth. Did you leave that track there? Yes, Daddy. But the evidence was there that he had stepped into something and left a trace of what he had come out of. And I came to announce today that you are stepping into a season where you will leave evidence of what you've come out of, so that the people that's coming behind you can say, if God brought them out of that situation, then surely he'll bring me out of this situation. If God did it for him, surely he'll do it for me. God is no respecter of a person, and he says, I'm the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Is there anybody in this place grateful that God is bringing you out of something and taking you over into something else? If that's you, shout yes. I
Joshua is finding himself leading a group of people out of the wilderness, out of a desolate place, out of a place that they were wandering for some time, and he's finding himself getting a word from God that says there's a promise that's waiting on you. And I came to announce to you today that there's a promise waiting on you. There's a promise waiting on you. That promise is moving towards you at the speed of your obedience. I said that promise is moving towards you at the speed of your obedience. You may not know what it looks like. You may not know what it sounds like. You may not even know where it is. But God is calling you to go. And when he says go, your obligation is just to say yes. And when you say yes, he'll show you things you never thought you could see. He'll let you hear things you never thought you could hear. He'll show you things you never thought was possible. All because you was obedient. Greater for me than where I'm coming from. Come on, bump your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you got to have wet feet, you got to have wet feet, you got to have wet feet. I understand I can't micromanage my own life. I understand I did not wake me up this morning. He did those things for me. Who am I to think that I can dictate or predict the rest of my life? My job is just to tell God yes. I don't know about you, but I understand that every blessing I get that I don't turn back into praise turns into pride. Every increase that I receive that I don't turn. Anybody in here that knows that you did not bring yourself out of the wilderness, but only a true and living Savior can do that. And you got about 15 like. You may not know what it sounds like, but you know if it had not been for the Lord on your side, where in the world would you be? I dare you to throw both hands up, open. You gotta have wet feet. You gotta have wet feet. You gotta put those old things behind you and understand that where God is taking you is a place you've never been before. God told you going in is a place you've never been in before. The place that you're about to see is a place you've never seen before. And I've come to tell you, in order for you to walk into, it's uncomfortable. It's inconvenient. It's gonna cost you something. But God has not called you to do the hard thing. God has to be involved with things that people say is impossible to do, so that when he does it, you can't take the credit for it. So that when you come out of it, you can't take responsibility for it. So that when you come over, you can't take the credit for it. God is in the miracle working business and wants you to know it's... He'll work everything out on your behalf. If it's not a mismatch, it won't be a miracle. I said, if it's not a mismatch, it won't be a miracle. If it's not impossible, if the giant you're staring at isn't towering over you, when he falls, you'll take credit for it. You'll say, I did it in my own strength. I did it with my own wisdom. I did it with my own knowledge. I did it. And I came to tell you today, he's about to take you out of something and allow so that you can enter into your new season. I dare you to shake the person beside you and tell them you can't stay here. Can't stay here. You can't stay where you are. You can't stay where you are. God is going to take you to find the flow. You're about to find your flow, baby. You're about to find your river. You're about to find your season that you've been praying for, that you've been searching for, that you've been believing for, that you've been hoping for, that you've been crying. I'm not talking to everybody, but I'm talking to somebody that's been through the wilderness, that's been through some hardships, that's been through some trials and some tribulations, and you understand I ain't been through all that I've been through to stay where I am. God has brought me out of it to take me over the Jordan. He's bringing you out. I said he's bringing you out. I feel something in this place about to break open. I said he's bringing you out. I said he's bringing you out. Think about everything that you've been stuck in for a second. Think about everything that's trying to hold you hostage. Think about that business opportunity that ain't lifted off the ground yet. I'm telling you, you're about to come out of it. If you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. Your wilderness is behind you. I said, your wilderness is behind you. You've been wandering too long. Your wilderness is behind you. You've been stuck too long. Your wilderness is behind you. You've been in the same season for a long time. I came to announce and declare over your life today that your wilderness is behind you. You will no longer wander in the desolate place. You will no longer wander in a dry place. God is saying, I'm taking you to your flow. You will no longer wander in a dead place. God is saying, I'm taking you to your flow. Your wilderness is behind you, and you're about to come out of what it was that had you stuck. Your wilderness is behind you. You say, why in the world is the person beside me so loud? You know what they're doing? They're counting. A strange hallelujah. They're counting every time God has bought them over. So you hear a strange amen. They're counting every time they thought they was going to die in the wilderness. But somehow God made a way where there was no way. They thought, what in the world am I going to do now? And somehow, some way, God made a way out of no way. They thought there was... You say, well, that's just crazy. You don't take all that, Pastor. That's just not my personality. All over the world was planted. And if you had that winning team, so you can made up that your preference is not going to deter you from your praise. Is there anybody in here that says, I will bless the Lord at all times? His praise shall continually be in my mouth. He's brought me this far, and I believe he's going to bring me out of it every single time that I get stuck. I will bless the Lord. Come on, let's take about 30 seconds and give God some real good praise. Open up your mouth and give him some glory. He said when the praises go up, the blessed preference stop you from your praise. I know you may not feel like, I'm telling you, if you got a crazy praise in this place, it may make you look foolish, but God has a crazy blessing on the way to encounter you and to meet you and to cut you off on this road. I'm telling you, if you can give it up, he'll release it down. You gotta, now with the wilderness behind him, and it's for the wilderness is behind him, the promise is in front of you. Number two, it's in front of you. You can see it. You know it's there. You know it's real. You know what God has spoken over your life can come to pass. You got your eyes fixed on it. Every great leader, every great visionary, every great dreamer has the ability to see things twice. They see it before it happens, and then they see it when it happens. Do you have foresight to see what God is doing in your life? Foresight is the ability to see more before. Do you have foresight to see what God is doing when no one else can see what God is doing? Do you have the ability to see God moving when it seems like he's standing still? Do you have the ability to know that God is up to something when it seems like God is up to nothing? Do you have the ability to see those mountains flatten in those days? Do you have the ability to see the land God is calling you to before you walk into it? The land is in front of you. You got to stay focused on what's in front of you. I said you got to stay focused on what's in front of you. Because if you lose focus, distractions begin to look like opportunities. I said if you lose focus now, if you lose focus in this season, distractions will begin to look like opportunities. Just say to yourself, this is a good idea. And it very well may be a good idea, but it is not a God idea. God has something in store for you. And you have to have your mind made up that, God, if you don't open the door for me, I'll praise you in the hallway until you open the door for me. You have to have your mind made up, God, I'll stay here until you usher me in into the new season. God, I'm going to stay put until you make a way out of no way. God, you'll make a river in the desert. And God, you'll fight in every mountain and you'll raise every valley. You'll make a way out of no way because you are God and you are good all by yourself.
You got to see it before you see it in order to see it. I know that's confusing, so I'm going to say it again. I said you got to see it before you see it in order to see it. You have to see that thing before anyone else sees it happening for your life. You got to see yourself walking out of the old season and stepping into the new season before you see yourself stepping into the new season. Because if you can't see it, you will never possess it. But I believe I'm in a room full of people that see what God desires to do, that see what God is up to, that says to yourself, I may not see it in the physical, but I see it in the spirit, and I'll believe it, and I'll receive it, and I'll walk into it, and I'm going to praise you on the journey until I possess it. Come on, bump your neighbor, tell your neighbor, the wilderness is behind you. The land is in front of you. But you're in this in-between season of knowing that God has brought you out of something, but he has to take you over something to get into something. The wilderness is behind you. The land is in front of you. But there's a river in between you. I came to tell you today, you're not going to possess it if you're not willing to get your feet wet. Joshua told the people, he told the children, listen to me, when you see the priest's feet go into the water, when you see the Ark of the Covenant go before you, you follow the presence of God. I came to tell you today, as long as you follow the presence of God, he'll work everything out on your behalf. As long as you follow the presence of God, he says, I'll turn everything around for you. He says, I'll make the good and I'll make the bad turn to the favor of those that love the Lord. Is there anybody here that says, I'm going to follow the presence of God? I'm going to pursue the presence of God. I'm going to chase the presence of God. If it costs me everything, I know God has greater for me in store in front of me than what I'm leaving out of. They followed the presence of God. They said, God, I'll worship you even when it's inconvenient. God, I may not see what you're doing, but I'm crazy enough to praise you in the dark. I mean, I know how you're going to work it out, but God, I'm crazy enough to believe you're going to work it out. I've left my comfort zone, and I'm in this no man's land. I'm in Neverland, but God, I believe that you have a promised land for me. And so, God, I'm going to keep my eyes fixed on you, and I'm going to do what you called me to do, even if it costs me some relationship. Even if they don't go with me, I know what you've called me to go into. Even if they walk away, God, I know what you've called me to enter into. Even called me to a promised land. And so, God, I'm not waiting on them. I will do what you told me to do. Stop waiting for people to call your name who aren't called by God. It is the season where you can no longer wait on them to go after that. You got to leave them behind so that you can possess what all God has in store for you. Is there anybody here that says, I'm willing to walk away from my comfort? I'm willing to walk away from my convenience. I'm willing to walk away from that thing that was holding me to possess what God has released to me. The enemy may be pushing you out, but God is pulling you in. And in this season, you got to pull it in. Bump your neighbor and say, you got to pull it in. You got to go after it. You got to pursue it. You got to chase it. You have to be in search of it. You got to go after the presence of God. This is no longer the season where you can be a spectator. This is the season that you got to be a participator. See, there's two types of people on your row right now. There's a person that says, I will praise the Lord because he's been good to me, because he's answered my prayers, because I've walked out of the wilderness and into this new season. And then there's a person that says, I'll bless the Lord in spite of. I may not have everything I want. I may not have everything that I need. I may not have everything I've been praying for. But in spite of, I still will bless the Lord at all times. I dare you to do inventory on your row right now to see who you're sitting beside. Are you sitting beside of because of or in spite of? I need my in spite of praises to stand on your feet and give God about 15 seconds of praise.
Oh, come on. I feel something about the break in this place. I feel something about the shift in this place. In spite of, he's been good. The wilderness is behind me. The land is before me. But there's a river flowing that I have to get over. And I came to tell you today, you got to get over it. I'm not being rude or disrespectful. I don't mean move past it. I mean you got to literally get over it. You got to stand over what's been standing over you. You have to get over what's been trying to rule you. You have to get over what's been trying to control you. You have to get over what's been holding you back and give it notice and say, today is the day that God has made, and I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. I dare you to bump your neighbor, tell your neighbor, you gotta get over it. It's time for you to move past it. It's time for you to get over it. You've been sick long enough. It's time for you to get over it. You've been depressed long enough. It's time for you to get over it. You've been stuck long enough. It's time to get over it. You're crossing over. I declare you're crossing over. I declare you're crossing over. You're leaving the old behind. Today you're crossing over into a new territory. You're crossing over into a new land. You're crossing over into a new season. I dare you to say it until you start to believe it for yourself. You're crossing over. You're coming out of something old and you're stepping into something new. You're crossing over. You're leaving the old behind and you're in search of the new thing God has for you. You're crossing over. The wilderness is behind you. The land is in front of you. The river is in between. And today you're crossing over. The thing that I take notice of in this scripture, there was a problem, but God had a plan. And then he gave a performance. I said there was a problem, but God had a plan. And then he gave a performance. I'll say it again until you believe it. There was a problem. You are facing a real tangible problem right now. I know some of you, your body may be wrecked with pain. I know some of you are ears deep into debt, but God is saying, I got a plan. There's a plan I have for this situation. There's a purpose I have for this circumstance. And not only that, I'm going to perform in your life if you believe. Are there any believers in here that says, I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know who, and his name is Jesus. It was a problem, but God had a plan, and that was a performance. You have to come to the place in your life where you have not gone through what you've gone through for that pain not to profit you. God says, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll be with you until the very end of all time. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their seed begging for bread. God has a plan, and he's about to perform. I said, God has a plan. And he's about to perform. I know it looks like the end, but it's just the intro. The first service I was reminded as a little kid, my parents used to take us to New York to these Broadway plays. We were sitting there and for about an hour, 20 minutes, they would perform, and it was great. And the curtains close. The music stops. The lights go back up. And people would begin to walk out thinking that it was over. I remember getting up and my dad say, hey, sit back down. I say, why? He said, it's not over. It's just intermission. If you stay seated long enough, you'll start to hear some stuff shuffling behind the scenes. You'll start to hear some props moving.
you're starting to hear some footsteps. Because it's not the end. It's just intermission. And I know it looks like it's over. I know the music has stopped. I know the lights have come back up. I know it seems like people that were once there are no longer there. I know it seems like things that were once there are no longer there. I know it seems like so much has changed, but I came to tell you today it's not over. It's just the intro to phase two of what God is about to do. See what's going on behind the scenes of that curtain. God is repositioning the props to show you what's new. He's changing the scenery to show you it's a new season. I know many people thought that it was over, but all I'm doing is changing the season for the next season you're about to enter into. I dare you to bump your neighbor, tell your neighbor, just stay put, just stay where you are. It's not over. God says this is just the intro for the next season you're about to enter into. You're coming out, you're going over, and you're about to enter in. There's going to be a performance because God has a plan. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, saith the Lord. My plans are good, they're not evil. I know your situation may not be good, but I am. I know your circumstance may not be good, but I am. I know the trial and the testing you're going through may be painful and not good, but I am. And as long as you have your faith anchored in me, I will work it out on your behalf. How many of you believe you're stepping out of something and stepping into something brand new? Come on, as a sign of faith, I dare to just take one step forward and say, God, I thank you for bringing me out, for bringing me over. You've brought me this far, and I know you will lead me the way. Come on, lift those hands. Oh, God, we thank you. You're so good to us, Lord. Today we are determined to have wet feet. And God, we declare and decree that our lives will never be the same because we have pursued your presence in the name of Jesus.